You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Liza.
And together we are the Empowered Caregivers.
Today we're talking with Danita Ward and Don Ferengo from Agrace. Agrace is a nonprofit, community-based health and care agency. They provide hospice and supportive care services in private homes and in skilled nursing, assisted living, and other community residential facilities across southern Wisconsin. For more than 40 years, Agrace has been an innovator and a leader in both caring for patients and their families and in educating others about death, dying, and grief. They are the largest hospice provider in Wisconsin with the mission to provide personalized care and support where and when you need it for life's changing health needs. Welcome, Dawn and Danita. Thank you so much for coming today. If you'd like to introduce yourself and tell us what you do at Agrace.
Sure. Thank you for having us. So I am Dawn Ferengo. My title is Patient and Family Experience Coordinator, which is a fancy way of saying I take complaints and concerns from patients and families and work to implement their feedback into our organization to make positive changes for those that we serve.
Cool.
Yes, thanks for having us. My name is Danita Ward, and I'm the Director of Supportive Care, which is our palliative care program at Agrace.
Great. Liza and I were doing a bunch of research to get ready for you guys, and wow, Agrace is intense. There is a lot of programming. Super impressive. As Liza was reading the introduction here about all of the goals and services you provide, it's clear that a lot's going on. Can you explain to us your like 2-minute elevator speech on what Agrace does?
Sure. Agrace is an organization that provides personalized care and support to those with a life-limiting illness. So we work towards building a future where every person's experiences is extraordinary care and guidance while they deal with that serious illness. Our service lines, we have several service lines within the Agrace umbrella. We have our traditional hospice, our supportive care, which is palliative care medicine. We have an in-home non-medical support called Age at Home, and that's kind of a pay for non-medical caregivers in the home. We have an adult daycare center, and then we have a grief and spiritual support for the community.
Wow, that is a lot. Okay, so a couple questions there just to clarify for listeners. What is the difference between supportive palliative care and hospice care? I know that when I tell people that we're good friends and that you're in this work, they oftentimes ask me about hospice care and palliative care.
Sure. So palliative care, by definition, means symptom management. So our supportive care program, we practice palliative medicine. So we really focus on symptom management for people with serious illness. And that can be at any point in their illness. It can be early in the diagnosis or late. So we do several different things. We do education on disease progression, what that might look like. We help plan for the future, what that might look like for a family, what care needs they may need as the disease progresses. And we do spiritual and cultural and grief support as well, and connect them with community resources. And hospice organization does all of that as well, that service line. They provide all those services well, but to be considered a hospice patient, we have to have a diagnosis of 6 months or less.
Okay.
Where as palliative care, we can serve that patient even early in the diagnosis.
Got it. And I think that you've explained to me in the past that's where people realized having that 6-month thing. It was connected to Medicare and Medicaid, right?
Yes, it is. And when people go on hospice, just one other differentiating factor, they focus on comfort care only, whereas
sure.
When you're on palliative care, you can actually be having treatment for cancer and things like that and still qualify for palliative care services.
Because you can still be actively engaged in your life. You're not necessarily preparing for the end stage.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Great. Thanks. That was super helpful.
I have a quick question for you. How do you get connected with Agrace? Do the family members call you directly? Do you work with hospitals and clinics?
So all of the above. Anyone can refer someone for a GRACE services. Most often it's going to be family members or physicians who are making referrals, but it can be anyone. So if you know of somebody who might benefit, obviously let them know and talk to them about it, but anybody can call or go online and make a referral. We then connect with that potential patient and their caregiver and probably their doctor as well, just to help figure out if it's something they're interested in, and to kind of put them in the right program, make sure that they have the services that are right for them.
It's awesome. I wish we had this when my parents were passing on to the next phase. We had hospice care, but we didn't have all this help with palliative care, mm-hmm. because this was about 10, 15 years ago. So I've just really been impressed with all the stories that I get from Danita. I'm going to shift gears a little bit, though, because the function and purpose of this show is really to focus on caregivers. And I know that is a big part of what a GRACE does. Can you be a little more specific about how a GRACE supports the caregiver?
Absolutely. So I will speak from the hospice perspective, as that's where I'm most familiar, and Danita will talk a little bit more about supportive care. When a patient is on hospice, our primary contact is really with the caregiver. Our role is to go in and teach the caregiver the skills that they need to make caregiving successful for them. So that might be specifically teaching them how to provide medications or how to safely get their loved one from the bed to the bathroom. So it's very practical things that we're teaching them, but then also just coming in and providing that emotional support. We know caregiving is exhausting. And when you add, if there's a death approaching, you also have that grief on top of it, and there are a lot of supports that are needed. So we make sure that the caregiver is very involved in the care. They're involved in developing what the plan of care is going to look like. And then we work with them to help develop a plan for afterwards, too, after the death. What supports are available and how can you make it through that time?
Wow, that's amazing. And that really fits in with a lot of the purpose of this radio show. This series that we're doing is really focusing on the RAISE Family Caregiver Act. You might not be familiar with it, you might be, but essentially it's part of Biden's Build Back Better plan, which is just so much alliteration, it makes me giggle. It's part of that plan in really recognizing a whole lot of goals for this crisis that we have in caregiving. And what we invited you guys to come is that second goal really struck me in terms of the experience I had as a caregiver with my parents. And that second goal, just for the audience and to recap for everybody, is to make the caregivers key partners with the rest of the healthcare and service team. Can you guys speak a little bit to that whole idea of becoming a key partner of the team?
Yeah, I think from a GRACE, but supportive care as well, perspective, we involve the caregivers from the very beginning. We do an assessment of support systems on our patients to see what kind of family support, loved ones. Sometimes it's a neighbor that takes care of that patient. So we really look for those support systems and try to connect them with community resources if they don't have any, the supports. And like Dawn said, we really take an investment in teaching caregivers. We all, when we become caregivers, many of us don't have any experience. We're just
exactly.
kind of thrown into this. So that's where a GRACE can kind of help guide people to support systems and help and train and really just... We focus on quality of life, not only for the patient, but the family as well.
Excellent, excellent. Liza, why don't you recap for all of us again what the purpose of the RAISE Family Caregiver Act is, please?
The RAISE Family Caregiver Act is federal legislation to address the caregiver crisis in the United States. The overall focus is to raise awareness and to improve the experience of being a family caregiver. The legislation proposes to do this by identifying 5 primary goals and outlining 26 recommendations. And so I'm just curious, as you work with the caregivers, what are some of the challenges that you see?
So we've talked about this before the show and really talked a lot about how complicated our healthcare system is and how challenging it is to navigate. I've had this as a personal experience, even being a caregiver for my mother. And I'm somebody who works in the healthcare system, and it was hard for me to navigate. And when you put on top of that the burden of, you know, providing hands-on care, having multiple medical appointments, and grief on top of that, that families often don't have the bandwidth to navigate that. It would be hard even in positive and, you know, normal times. And when you're in a crisis, it's even harder. And so, again, we really try to come along and help guide and support people through that process and make it easier, put the burden on us to navigate that and not have that be an additional burden for them.
And so if your friend called you up today and said, I'm facing this, what do I need to do, Dawn? What's some specific advice that you give people? Maybe not the people that you're coming in direct contact with because they're already reaching out to you. But if a friend or someone that, you know, you were meeting casually said, how do I make sure that I stay a key partner in this caregiving process? What advice would you give them?
So I would say speak up. Don't be afraid to ask when you have questions. You are expected to have questions. If you don't know something, it is okay to not know. And then also writing down questions to ask their provider. Oftentimes we forget those in the moment, so write them down ahead of time. Keep logs of what's going on, again, so you can remember when the provider asks you questions. And then one thing that's important to us at Agrace is start advanced care planning now. Even if it's not, even if you don't have a diagnosis or a serious illness, it's important to plan ahead now.
So we're going to be going to break in just a moment, but before we do that, can you talk a little bit more about that advanced planning?
Please. Sure, I'll talk a little bit about advanced planning. Many people think it's just filling out a living will or advanced directive, but it's much more than just the forms. It's guiding family conversations about what that journey looks like at the end, you know, that death journey, if they're towards end of life. We talk about, you know, what that might look like, what that patient's wishes are, and that's why I always encourage people to get connected early.
Sure. Get connected early to Agrace or to each other?
Get connected to a palliative care if they don't have the opportunity or the know-how to have those conversations.
Got it. Because you help facilitate that for the family.
Absolutely.
That is excellent advice. I remember our guest last week spoke of how they were helping somebody on their deathbed trying to come up with all of these last minute plans, and she said she never wanted to do that again, and I could imagine why. You're listening to the Empower Caregiver Show. We'll be back in just a minute to speak with Danita and Dawn from Agrace.